Today we are going to read from Gospel according to Luke chapter 4 verses 16 through 30. I read from NAS Being New American Standard Bible. Verse 16. And Jesus came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went unto synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue was fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless, you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself.' What we have heard you did at Capernaum, to hear in your hometown as well." And he said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months. A great famine came of all the land, and Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Zidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath. And they rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they could throw him down the cliff. Passing through their midst, he went away. Wow! What a powerful incident we just read. Just previous verse, 14 and 15, the Luke writes, Jesus returned from where? Wilderness temptation. In the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And a report about him went out through all the surrounding country. And he taught in their synagogues, and being glorified by all. A few miracles, signs Jesus performed, and he taught in their synagogues on every Sabbath. Not in his hometown, but in his temporary base located in Capernaum. It is the beginning of his whole 3.5 years of public ministry. After a short time, he went up to his home city, Nazareth. So it is still at the outset of his following messianic ministry in Israel. So that's a backdrop. And we know from this incident, his town folks, they heard about Jesus' miraculous power and authority to drive out demons and heal sickness and new way of powerful interpretation of Moses' law and prophets. It is no small thing, because new interpretation of Mosaic law is exclusive privilege of nationally renowned rabbis. In Jesus' time, according to extra biblical resources, there are only 5 rabbis nationally renowned. 3 resided in Judea, Jerusalem. 2 are John the Baptist and Jesus. What is their qualification? 2 things. Either one has to be characterized to that specific rabbi. If that expert teacher would be qualified being the traditional rabbi, either miracle performer or new revelation or new interpretation, unlike all other experts on the law and the scribes who were just repeating traditional interpretation to their children and synagogue attendants. But rabbi had authority to make new interpretation. So here, to the town folks of Jesus in Nazareth, Sabbath day, Jesus went to that synagogue, most likely the same synagogue Jesus went while he was raised up in that town. Not as a listener, this time he was a guest speaker, because already he became whole area in the province of Galilee, well-known rabbi. He became, at least in the province of Galilee, very famous as miracle performer and interpreting Mosaic law new way with authority. So here, he was naturally invited guest speaker, having the quality of rabbi by name, not teacher, not scribe, not Pharisee, rabbi. It means in whole province of Galilee, out of more than 10,000 teachers, he is the only one called by town folks, in Nazareth, in Capernaum, and other cities in Galilee, rabbi. those days, either northern Galilee, mid part of Samaria, and southern part of Judea, and the far south border state is Idumea. Jews, they spoke oral language Aramaic. So, their daily language, spoken language was Aramaic. And there is Old Testament Aramaic version, so-called Targum, is there. They were very familiar to that version. But on Sabbath day, they heard oral Hebrew read from Hebrew scrolls. It means whoever reads that Hebrew scroll has interpreter next to him stood. So every verse was read in Hebrew and immediately interpreted by the next person stood by him into Aramaic. That's the typical procedure in every Jewish town where synagogue was located. Jesus, he received Hebrew scroll from the attendant. And that was Prophet Isaiah's scroll, because there are several books of Moses and several books of prophets, several books of literature, so they cannot be written just in one scroll. At least 20, 30 different scrolls. And he was given the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Now, rabbi or guest speaker's prerogative and privilege to unfold, unroll, and find his text to read aloud. And then he could give certain speech. That's what happened. What Jesus read from Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because of his anointed me. It means prophecy about the future Messiah, anointed one. Jesus is reading about his own prophets, prophecy, to proclaim, to preach good news to the poor. The Father has sent me to proclaim freedom to the captives, recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the year of the Lord's grace. To who? To God's covenant people, including Nazareth, that Tom Fox. This is one of their favorite verses in Isaiah, because past almost 400 years, they suffered from foreign oppression. Currently, they suffer from Roman occupation. But Romans are pagans. How come pagans are still oppressing God's privileged covenant people? That Israel writes, Jesus' contemporary Jews' national image is very high, but they are powerless. Though they resist the Roman occupation, they are powerless. So whenever Isaiah chapter 61, first verses 1 and 2 were read on every Sabbath, in every synagogue, those attendees were overjoyed, invigorated, because of their message. But the most important part is the last part of verse 2. To proclaim not just year of the Lord's favor, but to proclaim the day of vengeance of our God. Against whom? All those oppressors, including Roman armies and generals and emperors and governors. But Jesus intentionally omitted that. In fact, stopped. Where? To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he did not proceed to finish up listeners' most favorite part of verse 2. To proclaim the day of vengeance of our God against our enemies. That part Jesus did not read. And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. That was he sat down on the Moses' seat, where every Sabbath day Moses' writing was read. And sometimes out of prophets they could read, but it is not mandatory. Only reading from Moses' laws are mandatory on every Sabbath in every synagogue. So here, Jesus, he was given scroll of Isaiah. So it was not common reading part. Yet, on that day, the scroll of Isaiah was unrolled by Jesus. They were really expected. They were emotion is really slowly rolling up and high. Why? Because chapter 61, verse 2, last part of verse 2, to proclaim the day of vengeance of our God. That's what they want to hear from the guest speaker when he read from prophet Isaiah. Puristic form of nationalism. So narrow-minded nationalism found among the Jews in Jesus' contemporary days. But Jesus did not read that part. Verse 20. Sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him, because he missed their most favorite, encouraging, invigorating part of verse 2. Now, they all wanted to hear what he was going to tell. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." It means messianic age has finally come to your hearing through my proclamation. What a shocking message. That part, they loved it. Though it was shocking, they were so long waited for this kind of thing. So Luke wrote, verse 22, all spoke well of him. Because messianic age has finally arrived. But second part of their response is this. They all marveled. It means shocked and at loss of their words. Because at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. Friend, it is not the compliment for Jesus' speech. Why they were shocked at the loss of their words? Why? Because they are all of a sudden filled with anger, frustration at Jesus' gracious words. Gracious words what? Gracious words against, supposed to be vengeful, spirit-stirring, nationalist speech should come out of the proclaimer Jesus. Instead, Jesus intentionally skipped reading spirit-stirring words proclaiming the day of Lord's vengeance upon their enemies. That part are missing. It means Jesus intentionally showed grace against town folks, arch enemy, pagan Roman soldiers and occupants. Jesus did not want the day of vengeance upon Jewish oppressors, Roman soldiers, Roman governor, from their nationalistic point of view. God should bring day of vengeance upon them. But Jesus did not read their part. Why? Jesus showed grace, spoke gracious words by not promoting vengeance of God against their enemy. To them, gracious words of Jesus was frustrating, making them angry at Jesus, the guest speaker. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? All of a sudden, their attitude 180-degree turned. So Jesus noticed their radical mental change. Jesus said to them, doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, physician, heal yourself. What we have heard you, Jesus, did at Capernaum, we heard that. Do hear Jesus in your hometown as well. And Jesus said, truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth I tell you, there are many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and great famine came over all the land, and Elijah was sent. Pay attention to this word, sent by Yahweh to none of them, but only to Zarephath's pagan enemy land, the land of Zidon, to a woman, not man, among women, widow, the lowest class of the pagan society, let alone Jewish society. And there were many lepers in Israel in time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian oppressors, the general enemy of the Jewish people. So it means Jesus put the salt on their wound. When they heard these things, more gracious words from Jesus' mouth, not siding with them, but siding with pagans, their enemies, all all in the synagogue were filled with wrath. They rose up, drove him out of the town, brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town had built, so that they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. Remember, this was the outset of his public ministry. The reaction from his town folks could foreshadow what kind of public ministry is ahead of Jesus. What kind of vehement, sometimes life-threatening opposition will come and meet him whenever he proclaims Kingdom of God, good news to the oppressed. It would not please their pure, narrow, nationalistic mind. What do we learn from here? If we have God-given saving faith, we must not compromise our saving faith with our culture-tainted nationalism, national pride, culture-tainted common sense, group mentality. Because pure gospel preaching will always have such strong, vehement resistance from that community, permeated with their own national, societal, custom, and culture. Jesus' gospel preaching is spearheaded against such response. But Jesus, he went through them and walked away. His authority, his power. What should we respond to? Humbly set aside all our emotional attachment to everything except Kingdom of God, except Jesus' gospel. But so many Christians are intermingled with society's goal and society's sin-tainted, holy zeal for their own national interest in the name of God. Gospel preaching is constantly in danger of being compromised when we fear their radical response. Instead, we disciples of Jesus Christ must stick to our saving faith and putting our full intellectual assent to Jesus' gospel, kingdom gospel, and soaring above nationalism, cultural custom, and permeated common sense, we must soar above and beyond so that Jesus' pure divine authority and power, we may humbly before it prostrate, accept, obey with mind, body, and soul. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, your sinful human nature wanna reject whatever proclaim to them what they do not want to hear. But we are in desperate situation to hear life-giving gospel every day, every moment. Lord God, by the power of your Spirit, continue. Govern us, reign over us, so that we are always ready to obey gospel authority and gospel power over against all our private affections and petty interests and favorites, even nationalism attached to this nation. May your kingdom be revealed, personified in our radical obedience to your gospel. Jesus' name we pray. Amen.